This is CliffCentral.com.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is the Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, Lionel Makoka-Kleller. Welcome, Lions.
Dumela Gary and Dumela to our podcasters, and thank you very much for having me.
Lions, today we have a further show in a series in which we aim to increase awareness of the role and responsibilities of the Attorney's Fidelity Fund.
Interesting. Who are they?
Well, there you go. When you use the services of an attorney, you have the right to do so with trust and goodwill. I mean, we all know that. You're doing your articles with a firm of attorneys. You want to know that the person you're dealing with is not going to run off with your money.
True that.
The question is, what happens if the attorney you trust steals your money, which he holds in trust in his trust account? In that case, it's the attorney's fidelity fund that will protect you against the loss and help you recover what's been taken from you.
Wow.
In studio today, we have Jan de Beer, who's the risk management executive of the Attorney's Fidelity Fund. A big welcome to you. You've been with us before. Many thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Gary.
Jan, today we're going to be talking about risk management.
Yes, it is quite a broad subject. It's got different angles to it as well, in terms of risk management within the fund itself.
Yes.
But also very much concern from the fund side is the extent of risks being managed within an attorney's practice.
Yes.
Because that's got a direct impact on how we perceive certain risks within the fund itself, in terms of where specifically theft risks originate, but also in terms of the Attorney's Insurance Indemnity Fund, of course, where there are any risks of negligence arising out of an attorney's practice, which will then, of course, negatively impact us as such.
There are many attorneys that listen to this program, candidate attorneys, legal students. This is very important to them, that they know exactly how to manage the risk. So maybe take us through, Jan. Let me take question one is really, what is risk? Why is risk management so important?
Well, if one looks at in terms of risk management in view of an attorney's practice, there is currently an extent of compliance relating to risk management as it relates to the accounting rules for the profession, where there is a specific requirement placed on an attorney to really develop and implement and maintain internal controls in respect of the risks that they've identified in their practices. And behind that, considering the approach from a rule point of view, is very much ensuring that if there are any risks that or anything that poses a risk to the practitioner, but also to their clients, that there is a responsibility on that practitioner to make sure that that risk is mitigated to the extent that it's practical to do that. That would then make sure that both the practitioner, their staff, the professional staff, and also the client, to a large extent, remains protected if in that practice everybody is vigilant in respect of how they manage risk in those specific environments.
Jan, give us some examples of what attorneys should be vigilant with and what we should take note of.
It is wide. Our focus, of course, specifically relates to the specific environment of an attorney's trust account. Mm. So all your financial controls in terms of how you're receiving money and also specifically how you actually discharge money, how you pay it out, and the checks and balances that are required in terms of how you actually affect those payments becomes critical. We see numerous instances, for example, where monies unfortunately ends up in incorrect bank accounts, whether they've been subjected to a fraud or a scam, or whether it's pure theft, even by staff members of the practitioner. Mm. And with the necessary controls and awareness from a risk point of view and making sure that those controls are properly implemented and they're working properly goes a long way in terms of mitigating those risks. And by doing that, you also then go and make sure that your client is then appropriately protected as well, because you make sure that you actually do the right thing consistently. In that, a lot of the rules relate specifically in terms of extent of minimum controls from an accounting point of view that you would like to see in a attorney's practice, but it's not necessarily comprehensive.
Yes.
There's a lot more things that a practitioner can do to make sure that they protect it. The rules are only there to really set a regulatory guideline in terms of from a compliance point of view, and really sets the minimum hurdle or the lowest hurdle to ensure that things are running correctly within that practice as such.
Jan, there are many attorneys that leave the running of the practice to their staff. I know that we've had cases of attorneys who've had money taken out of the trust account by conveyancing members and accountants and bookkeepers. That's one of the things, one of the risks that they've got to consider very carefully.
Absolutely, and the important thing is that even though they do trust the running of those practices or making sure that those processes and procedures are executed and it resides with staff members, it still remains the responsibility of the practitioner. They cannot walk away from that responsibility. And that's why how they need to manage that risk becomes important, because then you start talking about that person that I've entrusted this responsibility to, are they actually equipped to do that? Have they got the skills to do that? Mm-hmm. Have you performed the correct checks and balances or the background checks when you actually employed this person? And even to the extent that we see in a lot of instances where a lot of those key staff, for example, would not go on leave or don't want to go on leave. Yeah. And immediately those are basic warning signs that tells you that there might be something untoward. But then again, you find that those practitioners are so reliant on those staff to make sure that their offices are running on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And they don't necessarily have the luxury of bringing in additional resources or ability to pay for that as well. That makes that risk environment even worse for that practitioner. And they should be aware of that, which means that they need to be paying much more attention to the detail of the transactions that are occurring and that is actually in fact happening correctly. So it makes it more onerous for that practitioner, but it's more important for them to actually be involved in all of those decisions rather than just to leave it to your staff members, because you are carrying the responsibility.
Mm-hmm. What about training for attorneys? Is there risk management training that's offered?
As part of lead responsibilities in terms of where they involve in the practice management training. The risk management team of the fund has now actually concluded a improvement to the risk management module of practice management training to at least try provide to practitioners a guideline in terms of how they should go about from a framework point of view manage risk in their environments. It's very difficult to explain to a person in terms of how you want to deal with risk management in your practice if you don't create them a framework or environment in which they can do that and understand the basic principles and concepts of risk management before you jump into the detail in terms of these are all the problems that you're going to incur and how you can potentially mitigate that. But you need to create structure to how you want to manage risks in those environments. And that becomes important then from a training point of view in terms of how we're improving the content of that, and it will continue to improve as we remain involved with lead specifically, and how we want to make sure that practitioners are properly equipped in dealing with that.
Yeah, and I think the public is always affronted or upset when they hear that attorneys have run off with trust monies. It's horrible for the profession, horrible for me as an attorney. What I mean, is this on the increase, or what's going on out there at the moment?
We do see increases in respect of the risks that we're faced with, but there's a lot of underlying reasons to it as well. If one say it's potentially a specific type of transaction that is causing the risk, yes, we know that the biggest risk that we're faced with in terms of theft are related to property transactions or conveyancing transactions. Mm. But it's also as a result of the fact that the biggest portion of the money that lies in attorneys' trust accounts does relate to property transactions.
Yes.
So you almost got a more of an even distribution in terms of how you look at the makeup of your various types of trust monies, and you also look at the makeup of the composition of the type of transactions in respect of which the theft occurred. So it's more of not being the problem of the transaction, but it's more of the practitioner or their staff that utilizes the opportunity that there are funds available in the attorney's trust account that is easily accessible, specifically if there's not a lot of controls in that environment, then creates the opportunity for that practitioner or that staff member to actually perpetrate the theft.
Yes.
One can do a lot of things in terms of improving risk and controls around specific type of transactions, like conveyancing transactions. But in that, it also requires a significant mind shift change in the mind of the practitioner in terms of how they should be conducting those transactions. And that's where a lot of the debates are taking place at the moment as well, in terms of how do we improve those environments? How do we take a lot of the risk out of those transactions to install confidence back with the public in terms of utilizing legal services and making and be confident that their money is in fact properly protected.
Yeah, and I know we've dealt with this one before, but I think that we need to drum it in. People believe that any money left in an attorney's trust account is covered, and if it gets taken by an attorney wrongfully, the Fidelity Fund covers that. I think you need to clear that one up. It's very, very important, this one, because I speak to a lot of people and I say, do you know? And they say, we didn't know. Please clear it up.
Sure, I would clear that up. And it's very much also contained in our legislation as well. The first point is that if we talk about any money in attorney's trust account being covered, that is not 100% correct. Mm. First of all, there must be a proper underlying legal transaction to have taken place. The money cannot just lie there for any purpose at all. Other than for a proper legal transaction. And even if those legal transactions has been concluded and it remains in the attorney's trust account, it also doesn't mean it's automatically protected, because there is potentially a change in mandate in respect of the handling of those monies. Mm. Give you some examples. If, for example, look at a property transaction, those monies that are entrusted to that attorney in terms of dealing with that property transaction, that will be properly covered. But as soon as that transaction comes to an end, and the client or a member of the public says, but sorry, I don't know really what to do with the money immediately. Just keep it in your trust account until I want to go and make...
And invest it for me.
And invest it for me. Mm. That will not be covered by the fund, because there is no underlying legal transaction. Also, in terms of pure investments, if you go to your attorney and say, just invest these monies on my behalf, it will not be covered by the fund at all. Again, there's no underlying legal transaction.
So the moment the conveyancing matter is completed, the transferring attorney is holding the money. From that moment on, if you leave it with the attorney for him to invest it for you, put it in a bank, whatever, and he runs off with it, you are not covered. Lines, you know this one as well.
Yeah, but it's quite interesting and fascinating.
Wow. Yeah. It's quite scary in a way, because the public doesn't know that. They don't know that all of a sudden there's a switch. And we're not covered from now on, but we were covered when it was a conveyancing matter, and we're not covered now that it's an investment, really.
That's why I also stress that those monies should be paid out as soon as possible after the conclusion of the transaction. There's no reason for the attorney to hold onto those monies, because that would lead to a change in mandate, most definitely.
Once again, Jan, it's been a fascinating discussion with you, as always. Is there anything, we have a minute or so, anything you want to add to the discussion, or have we covered most of it?
I think we covered a lot of it. I think from a practitioner point of view, I would like to emphasize that it's important that practitioners do recognize the risks within their practices. Mm. And don't see that as necessary just a compliance issue, but understand that risk management can be a significant benefit to you as well. It gives you proper and overall oversight over what's happening in your practice, and also how you need to deal with certain things, and that you're prepared if certain events occur, how you should be handling and dealing with that as well. So don't see it as just a compliance issue and a thing that you must do. there's specific benefits in terms of doing that, because by doing that, you also instill a lot of confidence back to your customers and your consumers out there.
Yeah, I think to all of our attorney friends out there, if you need any assistance, please phone the Attorneys Fidelity Fund. They're in Cape Town and Joburg. Jan comes from the Centurion office.
That is correct.
Jan, it's been great. And you're there to help attorneys, or can they speak to your office?
I think if there are questions, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
In terms of clarifying certain positions. Mm. If there's any guidance that are needed, we more than welcome to engage with practitioners in terms of questions that they might have or clarity that they might require. Because it's in our interest to make sure that those practices are running properly.
Yes.
If there are any gaps in terms of how they're managing risks, it could potentially end up with them, but it's also got greater devastating consequences to them as well. It could mean that their practices will not exist the next day if there are serious breaches.
Absolutely. Be very careful. Many thanks to you, Jan de Beer, and we'll talk to you again. And to our listeners, many thanks to you, Lions. Cheers for now.
Tot ziens.
Thank you.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.